Let me talk quite frankly and personally with you for a few moments. Would you just pull your chair a little closer and listen a little more carefully? Amid all the conflict and the customs and traditions and confusion of all this religion in our day, would you be interested in taking a few moments today to see what God's Word says about three things, three vital, critical, important things? Now, there's a lot of religion, confusion, tradition, customs, emotions, excitement, promotions all around us. We're just literally swamped with religion. But would you like to just sit down for a little while and see what God's Word says about these three things? Here they are. Number one, what does God's Word say about the forgiveness of sins? The putting away of sin. You're a sinner and I'm a sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is no difference, Jew or Gentile, male or female, bond or free, old or young, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, how are sins forgiven, put away? The second question, how is a man sanctified? How is a person, a sinner like you and me, made holy in the sight of God, before God? It says, who's going to stand? Who's going to ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who's going to stand in His holy place? He that hath clean hands. How are hands cleansed? How are hearts purified? How are souls justified? How can a man be righteous with God? That's what Job said. How can he be clean that's born of a woman? How can man be just with God? That's what I want to know. What does the Bible say? How can I become holy? Because heaven's a holy place prepared by a holy God for a holy people. Wherein dwelleth righteousness. They shall no wise enter in anything that worketh or maketh a lie. And the Bible says all men are liars. How are we going to be holy? And the third question is, how can we approach God? How can you and I, how can we approach God? The Scripture says God is the most high potentate who dwells in a light to which no man can approach. God dwells in a light to which no man dare approach. How are we going to approach God? Now, we better find out the answer to these questions. How is sin forgiven? How can we be made holy in His sight? A lot of people think they're holy in their sight, in the sight of others, but His sight. How can we approach God? Now, I don't ask you to believe me or any other preacher. I'm but a man as you are, and they are but men too. Like Paul said in Philippians 3, I want to win Christ and be found in Him. I want the answer to these three questions. I want to know Him and the power of His resurrection. I want to attain unto the resurrection of the dead. I don't want to perish in a false religious profession, claiming on a stack of Bibles that I'm holy when I'm not. Our faith must not stand in the wisdom of men, or how well a man argues his point, or debates his position. Our faith has got to stand in God's infallible, immutable Word. The Word of God is the foundation of faith, and Christ Jesus is the sole object of faith. Now, I'll tell you this before I get into these answers. This preacher and this program that's been on this station and some other stations for over 20 years, this preacher and this program, we have nothing to sell. We have nothing to promote. We're not building any schools. We're not building any denominations. We have no money to raise. We have no goals to attain, not any whatsoever. We're not promoting anything, selling anything. We don't have any gimmicks. I'm interested in one thing. I'm interested in knowing God, and you're knowing God. I'm interested in preaching the truth about God, about salvation, about eternal life, and I'm interested in life eternal. Are you? That's my chief interest. I don't preach myself. I'm preaching Christ. Paul's our pattern, our example. When he was going to Rome and knew that he would be killed, and he was preaching his last message to the elders from Antioch, from Ephesus at Antioch. He was preaching to these preachers, and he knew they'd never see his face again, never hear him preach again. And he summed up his ministry with these five statements. He said, number one, I've served the Lord among you with humility of mind. Humility of mind. He said, I'm the chief of sinners. I'm the least, less than the least of all the saints. I'm not worthy to be called an apostle. I'm one of you. Is any weak that I'm not weak? And then he said, secondly, I've kept back nothing profitable unto you. Neither for gain out of covetousness, I've kept back nothing from this word that's profitable to you. I've not kept it back out of fear, out of favor, out of covetousness. If I see it in God's word, I'll preach it, he said. And I have. And then he said, I'm free from the blood of all men. I'm free from the blood of all men. I've been true. I've kept the faith. I've finished my course. There's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. He said, fourthly, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. If it's offensive, I've preached it anyway. If it humbles man's pride and his dignity and shuts him up to repentance and faith in Christ, I've preached it. I've not shunned to declare all the counsel of God. And then he said, I've coveted no man's silver or gold. Haven't asked you for anything. Haven't coveted anything you have. I preach for the glory of God. Now, you want some answers straight from the Scripture? You turn to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10. And let's see if God, we can find the answer to these three questions. How are sins forgiven? How is a man made righteous? How does a man approach God? In Hebrews 10, verse 1. Now, listen. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices offered year by year, make the comers thereunto perfect. What law is this? It's the Mosaic law. It's the Levitical law. It's the law of the tabernacle and the sacrifices and the priesthood and the Sabbaths and the sin offerings and the holy days. All of these things that were done in the Old Testament when they built the tabernacle, built the temple, and God ordained the priests to represent God to men and men to God, a mediator. And he instituted the Sabbath day and the holy days and the feast days and the mercy seat and the Ark of the Covenant and the atonement and all these sacrifices. And these sacrifices were the shadow. What's a shadow? A shadow is a light shining on something, and that's the thing that precedes the object. Picture of that which is to come. And these sacrifices and sin offerings and holy days were the shadow of Christ, the picture of Christ. They weren't the Christ, they were the picture of Christ and the pattern. And these sacrifices were not given to put away sin. They weren't given to make men righteous. They weren't given to bring men to God. They were given to foreshadow Christ, to point to Christ. Now verse 2 says this, if these Old Testament sacrifices could put away sin, that's what we're talking about today, putting away sin. If they could put away sin, they would have ceased to be offered. Probably the person bringing the sacrifice would have no conscience of sin. In other words, when Aaron slew the lamb and roasted his body and caught his blood and put the blood on the mercy seat and came out of the Holy of Holies having made an atonement, if that blood could put away sin, they wouldn't have to do it again and again and again and again, because the person would have no conscience of sin. If sins are put away, there's no need for sacrifice. But look at verse 3. But the very fact that these sacrifices were continually offered every year, is proof that sin is not put away. that sin is still there. That sin has not been put away. It's still there. Besides, look at verse 4. It's not possible for the blood of an animal to put away the sin of a man, because an animal doesn't have the same nature as a man, nor the same blood. Is this clear? So when Paul starts this 10th chapter, he starts it first of all by saying that that Old Testament system of laws and sacrifices and priesthood and holy days and tithe and all these things that Israel did, and these sacrifices and burnt offerings and sin offerings, these were the shadow of good things to come. Not the image of the good things, but the shadow of them, pictures of good things to come, forgiveness and mercy. Now look at verse 5. These were pictures of Christ. You know what I'm saying? Is that Christ, when he came, he fulfilled all these things. For example, you remember the rock that Moses smote and water came out? That rock is Christ. That's a picture of Christ, how he's smitten for our sins. And the refreshing water and the blood flowed from his side to give us sanctification and justification. And that Passover lamb that they slew and put the blood on the door in Egypt, that blood didn't hold back the wrath of God. That blood was a picture of the blood that held back the wrath of God, the blood of Christ. He's the lamb. He's our Passover. Paul said, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. He's the rock. He's the Passover. As Moses lifted up the serpent, do you think for one moment that those people who were sick and dying, looking to a snake, could heal them? That's worse than superstition. That's worse than witchcraft. But they looked to that serpent on a pole, and that's Christ lifted up. As Moses lifted up the serpent, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And they looked, that was a picture type. The law is a shadow of good things to come. And the high priest, these men were but men. And they died. They brought an animal's blood. And they went into the holy place. And they put blood on the mercy seat and came out. And the wrath of God was sustained. Do you think that those men who were sinners themselves, bringing the blood of an animal on a certain day, would hold back the wrath and judgment of God from a sinner? Oh, no more than baptism saves us. You put a man in water and he will wash his sins away. No more than coming to the Lord's table. The Lord's table is not a sacrament. It's not a saving ordinance. Eating the bread and the wine won't save anybody or put away anybody's sin. Baptism won't put away sin. Joining the church, any of these things now that we do that are pictures and memorials to Christ. He said, when you eat this bread and drink this wine, you show my death till I come. When a person is baptized, he's not baptized for salvation. He's identifying himself with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. Pictures. So look at verse 5 now. Now all of that back there in the Old Testament, the Sabbath, the holy days, the sacrifices, the priesthood, the temple, all these things are but pictures, shadows. No substance, just pictures. Now, wherefore, verse 5, when he cometh into the world, when Christ came into the world, the angel said unto you, is born this day in the city of David a Savior, Christ the Lord. When he came into the world, he said to the Father, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. What's he saying? Listen, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not. He's saying the same thing that I've been saying. Those sacrifices would not put away sin. Those offerings would not put away sin. Those sin offerings and burnt offerings would not put away sin. He's saying to the Father, these sacrifices of animals and offering of blood never satisfied the Father. Never satisfied the Father. In verse 6, he said, in burnt offerings and Sabbath days and sacrifice for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. These sacrifices never gave God satisfaction or pleasure. But I tell you who did. When he looked down and saw the Lord Jesus standing in the river Jordan, fulfilling all righteousness, he said, now, this is my Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Back yonder when those people were keeping a Sabbath, Saturday, the seventh day, as a picture of Christ, our rest. Back there when the high priest was bringing the blood offering, as a picture of Christ, our sin offering. Back there when the priest went into the Holy of Holies with the blood and put it on the mercy seat, that's Christ, our mercy seat. He's the priest, he's the mercy seat, he's the sacrifice, he's the sin offering, and he performed his service not in tabernacles made with hands, but in heaven itself. He said, Father, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. Behold, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. A virgin shall be with son, with a child, and bear a son, call his name Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. A body thou hast prepared me. Now then, we have a perfect lamb. We have a suitable lamb. We have a representative lamb. We have a man. Not an animal, a man. Not a defiled animal, but a spotless man. A representative. We have one with whom God is pleased. With whom God is pleased. We have one God sent. One God anointed. A body thou hast prepared me. You see, when he was born of the virgin, the angel said to Joseph, now don't be afraid to take Mary to be your wife, because that holy thing that's formed in her is the Son of God. She's never known a man. The Holy Ghost came upon her, the power of God. God prepared that body, supernatural body, the God-man. And then verse 7, look, he said, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it's written of me. What's he talking about? What book? In the volume of what book is it written of him? The Old Testament? From Genesis, the seed of woman? God will provide the lamb, Abel's lamb, Isaac's lamb, Exodus, the Passover lamb. All the way through the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, the mercy seat, the blood atonement, Deuteronomy, cities of refuge. All the way through the Old Testament, it's written of him. It's written of him. To him give all the prophets witness. The Old Testament says someone's coming. These priests are not his priests. These priests are pictures of his priests. These lambs are not his lamb. These lambs are pictures of his lamb. It's written of me. I tell you where else in the volume of the book it's written of him. You read in Revelation chapter 5 of him that sat upon the throne, and in his hand was a book written within and without, which no man could open. And I wept, John said, because there was not found in heaven, earth, or under the earth, a man fit, worthy to open that book. And one of the elders said, weep not. The Lamb is worthy. And he said, I looked, and in the midst of the throne stood one as a lamb slain. And he came and took the book out of the hand of him that sat on the throne. And he opened it. In the volume of the book is written of me. Now look at verse 9. Lo, I come, O God, O Father, to do thy will. My will is to do the will of him that sent me. Not my will, but thy will be done. And then watch this, verse 9. He said, lo, a body thou hast prepared me, and I come, O God, to do thy will. He taketh away the first and establishes the second. What is the first? Well, it's the first covenant revealed. It's the Old Testament priesthood. It's the Old Testament tabernacle. It's the Old Testament sacrifices. It's the Old Testament temples. The Old Testament holy days. The Old Testament Sabbaths and tithes and all these things that were required of Israel to do till Christ came, who would do it perfectly. He taketh away the first. That's all gone. Why is it gone? Christ fulfilled it. When you have the person, you don't need a picture. If I show a picture of my wife to someone, that means she's not here. Because if she's here, they say, what does your wife look like? There she is. I don't show a picture when she's here. And you don't show a picture of Christ if he's here. You don't need a sacrifice. You don't need a priest. You don't need these things. He's, lo, I come. In the volume of the book is written of me to do thy will, O God. And when he came, he takes away the first. Don't go back there and dig up a Sabbath day and dig up a sacrifice, dig up a sacrament, dig up a priesthood and dress the fellow up and give him a cross and let him go around making silly signs and people kissing his rings and bowing before him. Don't do that. You're a priest. He's made us kings and priests unto God. I have a high priest. He's in heaven. I don't need anybody here on the earth to confess my sins to, or to go to for forgiveness. I go to Christ. He taketh away the first that he may establish the second. The second is a full revelation of God's will in Christ. He said, I come to do thy will. How's sin forgiven? Listen to it. By the which will we're sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Lo, I come, O God, to do thy will. And when he said that, he took away all of those types and shadows and established himself. And he said, now, by the which will, the will of God, we're sanctified, made holy, forgiven, justified, accepted, made righteous through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. How is sin put away? By the sacrifice of Christ. How is sins forgiven? By the death of the Son of God. How is sins cleansed? By the blood of Christ. How is a man made holy and righteous? In Christ. Because he's our holiness. He's our righteousness. He's our sanctification. We're sanctified by his blood. And how do we approach God? By Christ. Oh, this is so clear. So clear. Look at verse 11. Back in the Old Testament, he said, all those priests, they stand daily and they offer the same sacrifices and the same offerings which can never take away sin. But this man, this God-man, this man for whom God prepared a body, this man, after he'd offered, listen, one sacrifice for sin forever, forever. We're sanctified by the blood of Christ once for all, forever. He sat down at the right hand of God. You see, those Old Testament priests were but men, only men, nothing but men. This is the God-man. God was in Christ. Those Old Testament men lived and they died and somebody took their place. He ever lives. He's a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. He is, and he always will be. You see, those men ministered here on the earth. He ministers in the presence of God. Those men offered many sacrifices. Oh, thousands of them. He offered one. One. Those men offered animal blood. He gave his perfect blood. We're redeemed not with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ. Those men, their sacrifices could never put away sin. I'd sprinkle water on you and burn candles and go through all the hocus pocus how you want to, and it won't put away sin. Sin's put away by the sacrifice of himself. And those men stood. Every priest stands daily offering the same sacrifices. This says he sat down, having finished his work. Watch verse 14. By one offering. How's sin put away? How's it forgiven? How are we made holy? How does man come to God? By one offering. He perfected forever them that are sanctified. By one offering, he perfected forever them that are sanctified. And this is the covenant, God says in verse 16, that I'll make with them, with those believers, those men in Christ in that day, in the days of the Messiah. I'll put my law in their hearts. God doesn't give us a law on a table of stone. He writes it on our hearts so we love it. We love his law. He said, I'll write my law on their minds. They don't have to go around reading it. They think on it. think on it and they love it. And their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. No more. They're put away. Our sins are cast into the depths of the sea. Behind the back of God, wherever that is. Separated from us as far as the east is from the west, because He paid for them. He bore them in His body on the tree and He paid for them and He put them away. And their sins will I remember no more. Oh, I remember every sin. You do too. But thank God He doesn't. That's the power of the blood of Christ. He puts away our sins. And where forgiveness is, verse 18, there's no more sacrifice. No more sacrifice. No more work to be done. No more duties to be performed. It's done. The great transaction's done. I am my Lord's and He is mine. So verse 19, therefore, having boldness, brethren, to enter the Holy of Holies by the blood of Jesus, let's draw near with a true heart, full assurance. Our sins put away. How's a man made holy? How do we approach God? By the blood of Christ.